Daniel chapter number 2. We are there in the Word of God, Daniel chapter number 2. And I want to pick up where we left off last week. He talked to the fellows. He talked to them that they would pray, verse 17 and 18. Now verse 19. Then, everybody say then. Boy, something happens when you pray. Somebody say amen. How many of you are thankful for the thens after prayer? Then was the secret revealed, a.k.a. God answered prayer. You ever had a prayer answered? Revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. What are these, some thick verses? And he changeth the times and seasons. Who else does? And he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Who else does? He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Who else does? He revealeth the deep and secret things. What I'm about to say. Who else does? He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Who else does? I thank thee and praise thee, O thou my God, the God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and my, oh, it's getting personal now, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible one more time to be a blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Look around the building. Full house. Isn't it good when people come to the house of God? Amen. We thank the Lord. We've been dealing several weeks now with this thought, the clash between culture and Christianity. And it's clashing. Raise your hand if you can see the clash. If you can't see it, you're blind. There's clashing. Listen, even the world can see the clash. They may not agree with it, but they can see the clash. Christianity and culture will never move the same way. We might as well quit trying to get that figured out. We might as well quit trying to see that happen. The world and the word are not going to run hand in hand. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll go with the word every time. And so there is a clash. We saw that in Daniel chapter 1. Now in Daniel chapter 2, we are seeing that again, manifested in the life of the king. King Nebuchadnezzar with a serious predicament. You know the story. He's in a dilemma. He has a dream. The dream brings about distress. He's upset about it because he can't remember the dream and doesn't know what it means. His desire is for the dream to be interpreted. His demand is that someone interpret it. And his decree is if they don't, they will be killed. This is a predicament. And as long as you and I are navigating life on planet Earth, as long as we are here living in this flesh, we will face predicaments. Now, what separates us from culture is not that they have predicaments and we don't. What separates us from culture is they have predicaments and have nowhere to turn. We have predicaments and we got a God to turn to. And so this serious predicament brings about a subsequent problem. There are insufficient resources to get the dream interpreted. There's an identified rarity. This doesn't happen like this. It's not uncommon for someone to have a dream, but to have the dream, forget the dream, to demand the dream recovered and interpreted, this is a rare thing. And I don't know about you, the longer I live, the more rare things I see. And so he has instinctive rage. He's upset about it. He's got a problem that no one can fix. We're living in a world that is full of rage because they're dealing with problems and no one can fix it. They turn to the bottle, then turn to drugs, they turn to counseling, they turn to medicine, they turn over a new leaf, they turn to people, they turn to politics, they turn to all kinds of things. The world will teach them to find the champion inside of them. They turn to humanism. They turn to religion. People say, I'm religious. Religion never got anybody into heaven. Somebody say, amen. You can turn to religion. You can go to the best church. You can get baptized upside down, forwards and backwards, and in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and a few other names. That's not going to solve your problem. Religion never solved anyone's problem. And here's why people are raging today. They've tried everything and nothing works. And so they're upset because they keep coming up empty. That's where you and I need to step up and let them know we have found something. Moreover, we have found somebody that never has you come up empty. So the intense ramifications, I'm going to kill everyone because this problem is not solved. Last week we were introduced to a spiritual perspective, a serious predicament. It's a problem, a subsequent problem because it can't be fixed. But now a spiritual perspective. Here's what we're driving home last week and repeating today. Somebody in the midst of a world full of predicaments and problems has to give a perspective that comes from Almighty God. Now listen to me. You and I are not living in heaven. We're living on earth. But our conversation, our manner of living is supposed to be in heaven. Our affections are supposed to be in heaven. We're supposed to be heavenly minded. You've heard people say you can be so heavenly minded, you're so earthly good, you're no earthly good. That's a cliche. But truth of the matter is you can't be too heavenly minded. Now you can be stuck up. That's not heavenly minded. You can be a Pharisee. That's not heavenly minded. But you are never going to go wrong being heavenly minded. Come on now. If ye then be risen with Christ, say that with me. If ye then be risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 3, the word if there means since, amen, buried with him in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. These are the phrases that we use when we baptize someone. When you baptize someone, that someone is not getting saved when he gets baptized. It's important to understand baptism. Some people teach baptismal regeneration, that if you get baptized, your sins will be washed away. Baptism doesn't wash your sins away. Baptism is a public declaration of what has happened by way of a private transformation. When I get baptized, my sins aren't washed away. When I get saved, my sins are washed away. When I get baptized, I am stating publicly that something happened in me on the inside that I'm not ashamed to show on the outside. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried. He rose again. I died. I died to myself. My old man should have been buried, and I've been raised again in newness of life. Somebody say amen that you've been risen with Christ, raised again in the likeness of his resurrection. So we need a spiritual perspective, and Daniel had it. He had a very sound insight. Notice what he said in verse number 14. Hey, let me tell you something, Arioch, I know what you need. And then he has a sincere inquiry. Tell me what's going on. Last week we talked about asking questions, not to be nosy, asking questions because you're burdened. Amen. Amen. Some people ask you because they want to know your business. Some people ask you because they want to get a hold of God. And Daniel says, tell me what's happening. Tell me what's happening. Sincere inquiry, solicited involvement. Let me get involved. You let me go before the king. You let me talk to him. Listen to me. When you got the mind of God, you're not afraid to stand before the powerful. You're not afraid to stand before the intellectual. You're not afraid to stand before the influential. Why? Because you don't stand in your own strength. You stand in the strength of Almighty God. There wasn't a man in Israel that was willing to fight Goliath, this 9.5 foot tall giant whose armor weighed probably more than David did. I'll tell you why they weren't willing to face Goliath, because they were standing in their own strength. Here comes a ruddy shepherd boy. He's not big. He's not boisterous. He doesn't have a bunch of muscles. He's not had a bunch of training in war, but he's been with God. Amen. He's been with God. The Lord is with him. He says, let me at him. This is what Daniel is saying. Let me go before the king. Not because I'm smart, not because I'm good, not because I'm talented, not because I know how to sing, not because I got a bunch of experience, not because promoting me is going to make the business better. Let me go before the king because I've been hanging out with somebody who knows how to make things happen. And so he asked for involvement, and then he shares the information with the fellas. He went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and companions. I told you last week, you better have some people you can talk to about your problems that you know will talk to God and get through. Do you have any prayer partners? I said, do you have any prayer partners? Do you have anybody that you know can get a hold of God? A little circle, a little group. I mean, when you got an issue, you can get on the phone. You can shoot a text. You can say, I need you praying for me. And you know that person, first of all, ain't going to lie and say they're going to pray and don't pray. Second of all, they're not going to send up a prayer that doesn't get past the ceiling. Third of all, they have proven by their testimony that they get through to God. Now, let me tell you something. There are people out there that can loan you money. There are people out there that can buy you a car. There are people out there that can fix you a meal. There are people out there that can pat you on the back. But you better have some people in your life who know by experience how to get through to heaven. I said how to get through to heaven. Hebrews chapter 4, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore we can come, what? Boldly. Everybody say boldly. Before the throne of grace. Now let me tell you something. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what side of the tracks you're born on. I don't care what family you're in. I don't care how belittled the world may make you feel. I don't care how little of a job you may have. I don't care how low on the totem pole you may be socially. If you are a child of God with the Holy Spirit inside of you, your Savior went into the Holy of Holies. That wall has been broken down. That veil has been rent. He has paved a way. Now, every single one of us have the authority to walk boldly before the throne of grace. And by the way, have you ever been somewhere that you needed to get to and found out that you showed up and it was already closed? You showed up and it wasn't open. You showed up and you didn't check the hours. I went somewhere yesterday. I had to taste for something. And I'm telling you, it was in my mind. I was licking my lips. I prepared to go. I went there and saw they had left for the day. And by the way, ain't nothing more frustrating than checking the hours, timing it out, knowing you were on time, and find out they decided to close at a different time than their hours on the internet. Now, that will get on your last nerve, especially when you've planned your day accordingly. Sometimes they're closed and you don't know it. Sometimes you think you know it and they close anyway. And I don't know why it seems like soul food restaurants. They just close when they want to close. They say they're open till 7. They left at 5. They got a menu with 19 things on it, but 13 of them are not available today. Mama them didn't make the pudding. Grandma didn't feel like making greens today. Aunt Susie didn't make her well, take it off the menu. If it's up there, you ought to have it. Well, it ran out early today. We all out of mac and cheese. How can you be a soul food place out of mac and cheese? And then they think they make it better, that you should forgive them when they suggest you something otherwise. Can I have the mac and cheese? We don't got to, but the greens, real. I ain't asked for greens. You don't make me feel better because you have a better option for me. The option for me is the option that I choose. Ain't nothing worse than going somewhere that's closed. Ain't nothing worse than showing up and found out they left early. Ain't nothing worse than ordering something on the menu they ran out of. Ain't nothing worse than getting it off the menu and finding out it don't taste like it tasted. Is anybody, do I have a witness in the house? But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, sitting in a chair this morning. Somebody say amen. You'll never call heaven and they're busy. You'll never dial God and he's out the office. You'll never pray and find out we left early today. You'll never need peace and find out they ran out. You'll never need joy and find out mama them didn't make it today. If God ever had it, he still has it. If heaven's ever open, it's still open. If God ever could, he still can. If God ever was, he still is. If heaven ever had an open sign, it never had a close. Somebody help me pray. Thank God. If it's open, then why don't we keep going? Serious predicament. Subsequent problem. Spiritual perspective. Today I want to just give you a thought about a supernatural phenomenon. A supernatural phenomenon. I was talking to a healthcare provider this week. And the provider said this to me. You know, it's nice to talk to another Christian. He said, with all my training and all my expertise, if people only knew how often when I'm talking to them, telling them what they need to do to feel better, that I'm literally praying because with all my training and all I know, it's gonna take God. Now, can I ask you a question? If the professionals know that, why don't Christians? Now listen to me. I know what you're thinking. When it gets tough, when it gets challenging, when my back's against the wall, when I land in that lion's den, when I feel the heat of that fiery furnace, I need a spiritual phenomenon. I hate to bust your bubble. When you woke up this morning, you needed a spiritual phenomenon. When things are going well, you need a spiritual phenomenon. When it seems like there's no drama in your life, you need a spiritual phenomenon. To take your next step, to breathe your next breath, to live in this life, to maintain your marriage, to raise your kids, to live the Christian life, to read the Bible and actually put into practice what you read is going to take more than years of spiritual understanding and more than all your Bible reading. You need a spiritual phenomenon. Ladies and gentlemen, to live the Christian life requires a miracle of Almighty God, and I'd like to read the headline for you this morning. He is still doing miracles. Preach, Pastor. And so here is Daniel exposing us in the middle of this clash to a spiritual phenomenon. Let me give you a couple thoughts today and then we'll go home. Here we are in verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. It's important to follow the scripture line upon line, precept upon precept, expositionally, verse by verse. This is how we teach and preach here at Crossroads Baptist Church. So you can tie in verse number 19 with the verses prior. Because remember verse number 11, it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods who dwelleth, whose dwelling is not in the flesh. This is what all of his magicians and astrologers were saying to him. King, you're asking something that cannot be done. Verse number 11. Something cannot be done. Verse number 19. It was done. Y'all reading the same Bible? Verse number 11. It can't be done. Verse number 19. It was done. Now, I know we understand this is rudimentary. This is elementary. This goes without saying. We understand it doctrinally. We understand it principally. We understand it from the Word of God. We quote it when we testify. We would say it in our sleep. God can do anything. The problem is it doesn't translate to our practical activity. You can't believe God can do anything and talk about, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You can't say God can do anything. I don't know what I'm going to do. You can't say God can do this. I can't take this anymore. How can you not take it anymore when God can do anything? So we've got to translate. We've got to somewhere get this thing from the head to the heart. Because we know all the phrasing. We know all the nomenclature. We know all the terminology. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You ain't highly favored when you're talking about, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Don't say it if you ain't going to live it. The Christian life is not the end of a Chinese food meal where you crack open a fortune cookie and read something and cross your fingers. The Christian life is a life based on the promises of God. And God is not maybe, possibly, what happened was, chances are, God is yea and amen. God did it. Taking note, supernatural phenomena, a divine work was accomplished. Something in culture that was deemed impossible happened. Well, you just can't be happy in this life. Who says so? That's culture talking. Well, you just can't be a young person and stay pure until you get married. That's culture talking. I said that's culture talking. The problem is we got Christians with their earbuds tuned in to the frequency of culture. Listen, keep your earbuds on. Just change the frequency. Get your channel tuned into heaven. When heaven says it can't, God says not only can it will. A divine work. I want us to think today that the clash between culture and Christianity will force us to a desperation that only God can supply. And ladies and gentlemen, he is in the business of doing divine work. Let me tell you something. More than half of marriages in our country end in divorce. But I'm going to tell you something. God is in the divine work of not only allowing marriages to survive, but marriages to thrive. Listen to me. The world will tell you how to have financial security. And the world will tell you how to have joy. And the world will tell you you've got to drink this away. And the world will tell you you've got to smoke this away. And you've got to get a high to forget all your problems. The world says get high and forget your problems. Peter says casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The world says you can't have peace of mind. Let me tell you something. Philippians says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds through Christ Jesus. Are you listening? Culture's down here. Christianity is up there. Culture is man's way. Christianity is God's way. The question is, who you tuned into? Divine work. Let me give you one more and I quit. Directed worship. Look at this one, would you? The divine work of God should prompt in every believer directed worship. Huh? It is God's working in our lives that should motivate our worship. When you get to the point in your Christian life, you don't have no worship left in you. You've taken your mind off of the work of God and the worthiness of God. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed. By the way, it didn't say Daniel figured it out. Huh? It said the secret was revealed. Turn to your neighbor and say it's a God thing. Find somebody near you. It's a God thing. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. I like this. I didn't even have this in my notes, but it is amazing. Nebuchadnezzar had a problem in a vision, and God solved it in a vision. Isn't it amazing? The world gets in their mess and can't get out of it. And God has a way of supplying his answer the same way that the world got its problem. It's almost like God saying, when y'all do it, it doesn't work. When I do it, it does work. Glory to God. Boom, shakalakala. Now, what did Daniel do after God's work? Immediately. Okay, there are two thens in verse number 19. In verse number 18, they're praying. Desire mercies from God. Desire mercies from God. That's prayer. Verse number 19, then. That then is God's answer to prayer. Okay? God's answer to prayer is divine work. The next then is Daniel's answer to God's work. Anybody listening today? God's answer to the prayer is work. Daniel's answer to God's work is worship. Somebody in the building is struggling a little bit with some of these worshipers. Don't feel lonely. Y'all been around a long time. I'm talking about people that have problem with worship. I just don't understand why the hand is. I just don't understand why. I just don't understand why tears coming down. I just don't understand why they're so into the song. I don't understand why they're singing loud and they can't sing. I imagine that person might be saying, "You don't know my story. You don't know where I've been through." Huh? You don't know them spirits were cast out of me, Mary Magdalene must say. You don't know how big of a sinner I was, Luke chapter 7, that woman must say. You don't know how long I was blind, that boy in John 9 must say. You don't know how long I've been sitting here trying to get somebody to put me in that pool and nobody would help me, that guy by the pool of Bethesda must say. You don't know how many times I wanted to get rid of this leprosy, Naaman must say. You don't know how many people wouldn't touch me, that leprosy must say. You don't know where I was before I put this suit on, carried this Bible, and became a deacon in this here church. You weren't with me when I was lost and undone without God or his son. You don't know what it was like to pray and know that nothing on this earth could answer my prayer. You don't know what it was like to get an issue of blood in my body for 12 years, to go to every doctor, to spend every dollar, to go through every procedure, to take every prescription, and just to get worse. But early early in the morning because I heard it through the grapevine that Jesus was passing through town. I left the house early enough to crawl and break and crawl and break and crawl and break and crawl and break. You say, why'd you keep crawling after you broke? Because somebody said Jesus was in town. And I kept on getting there. And when I showed up, I didn't have a private appointment. He wasn't necessarily taking them. I didn't show up by myself. Everybody else was there. So I had to push my way through the crowd. And I had to push and push and push. And I imagine she was disdained and belittled and name-called. You know how people do when you're desperate. You know how people do when they look down on you. You know how people do when you begging and they think you shouldn't be begging. They talk down on you. You know how we do. Say amen. And yet she was determined. By the way, they say all of the things they want to say. If you're really determined, you get there. I said, you get there. And she must have thought just a few moments ago, I made it. I made my way, not to his hand, not to his head, not to his chest. I made my way to the hem of his garment. There was more power in his hem than there was in that other hem. Come on now. And when I touched the hem of his garment, straightway. Instantaneously, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She was healed instantaneously. She was healed inexplicably. You couldn't explain it. She was healed indubitably. There was no doubt about it. She was healed inwardly, outside and in. She was healed infallibly. It was not coming back. She didn't get a medication that fixed one problem and caused five more. She didn't get the doctor to say, you got a headache, here's a pill for you. But after your headache is gone, you're going to have a toe ache, a neck ache. You're going to break out in a rash. You're going to have ingrown toenails. And you might develop a halitosis out of it. This medicine fixes one and causes five. But I'm glad that Christ is not in the business of writing prescriptions. He's in the business of healing. And there needs to be a Christianity that reveals to culture that we have a God that not only does divine work, but we have a God that deserves directed worship. Amen. Somebody got to praise him. That's what culture needs to see. They need to watch us worship. I said they need to watch us worship. One of the things that being home for this last year and a half, and we have one service here in person, and we have a lot of services online, and that means we're tuning in. Have you noticed that these online services and these replayed services have given us a very critical eye to how people worship on camera? Some of you choir members didn't know that's how you look. And let them, you notice some of them services, the cameras panning through the crowd. And people lifting up the name of Jesus and you just kind of in your own zone. Culture is watching you. They're watching you. Everybody want to get the secret. Everybody wants to be able to walk into the king and say, guess what I figured out? Huh? I had somebody call me. He's talking about a preacher. He said, this preacher asked me to help it work with him on a building project. And he was going to do it with me. And he didn't help me at all. But when I got to the end of the project and finished, the preacher said, let me hold your drill and take a picture of me holding the drill so I can post on social media. Just finished building this project. You know what that's called? Phony. That's called holding a drill at the end, acting like I did something when the one that did everything is not in the picture. When God does something and we post our picture like we did it, he misses out on his worship. I love verse 19. Work from God, worship to God. Work from God, worship to God. Work from God, worship to God. What do you need a break for? God did the work. Let me pray about it and gather up my speech and, and practice. No, no, no. The moment he does it, start worshiping. And you know what worship will do? Worship will not only give you credit to the God who did it, but it'll give you a clearer eye to watch him do something else. There's a clash, culture and Christianity. But I love that in the midst of serious predicaments, subsequent problems, there can be a spiritual perspective that lays the groundwork for a supernatural phenomenon. God is still doing great things. I'm just saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Our Father, we bless your holy name. We love you and we praise you. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking.